Philippians 3, 17 through 4, 1. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see each of you this morning. If you're joining us, if you weren't here last week, we began a series last week of hidden gems in the Bible. We're going to continue that this morning. These next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some verses that maybe aren't the most popular ones in the Bible. And by that, I mean you're not going to find them on any wall hanger or a bookmark from Lifeway or anything like that. You're not going to hear them mentioned on K-Love. They probably won't make Facebook as a status. But they are important verses. Why? Because they're in the Bible. They're in the Bible. Paul told Timothy, he said, all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is profitable. Not just the ones that we have committed to memory or the ones that we are most familiar with. All Scripture. This morning's gem is going to come from there in Philippians 3. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit about citizenship this morning. You know, there's a lot of people that come to this country every day with the hope of having citizenship here, American citizenship. They want to obtain the rights and privileges, and even they're willing to take on some of the duties that many of us enjoy just because an American flag happened to be flying above our crib when we were born. We enjoy, as American citizens, we enjoy the right to vote. We have freedom to leave and re-enter the country pretty much as we want to. We can run for public office. We can come here and worship God. We enjoy all kinds of benefits. We are able to transmit our citizenship to our children, even if they're born outside of the U.S. We have other protections as we travel around the world. The nearest U.S. embassy is willing to help if we run into difficulties, all because we're a citizen of the United States. We also have duties as citizens that we're asked to perform. Probably the one that we're most familiar with, maybe jury duty. I don't know, though. There's something right around the corner, another duty, isn't there? Rendering under Caesar that which is Caesar's. Tax day, isn't it? Right around the corner. We'll talk more about rendering unto Caesar tonight. I suspect, though, when it comes to our American citizenship, I suspect that many of us take it for granted a little bit. We probably don't think about it all that much. That wasn't true for the people living in Philippi. I hope that you read the excerpt from the bulletin this morning from an article, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But there in Philippians 3, Paul writes, and he talks about citizenship. He talks about citizenship there in verse 20. I want to read this section again. I'll start in verse 17. Paul says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears," he says, "many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship," Paul says, "but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. In verse 20, Paul talks about citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. You know, as Rome would come in and they would conquer various places, they would set up communities, colonies, and they would place soldiers in those areas. Some of the Roman rulers would come in and they would offer Roman citizenship to some of the local inhabitants. Some would actually grant that citizenship for free, but we have some examples of people buying citizenship, Roman citizenship. When they did that, they were Roman citizens. They had the same rights and responsibilities as someone born in Rome. Now, these leaders, they didn't always just do it out of the goodness of their heart. Those people were expected to represent Rome. All things Roman. This was pretty successful for the Roman Empire. And by doing that, Rome was able to continually just extend its borders further and further until they pretty much conquered the known world at that time. This idea of citizenship is a very fitting illustration for these people in Philippi. They understood what Roman citizenship was all about, and it was a good way for Paul to explain, hey, there's a difference here between those people that are enemies of the cross, like he says in verse 18, and those people that are followers, believers of Christ. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. He reminds that church there, each of us who know the Lord, we have heavenly citizenship. Our home is in heaven. Have you ever been away from home for a little bit and you looked forward to coming back? There's no place like home, right? No place like home. It's fun to go and travel and to meet new people and renew old friendships and see family from far off. But man, it's good to sleep in your own bed too, isn't it? When you get home, we enjoy the benefits and the comforts of our own house. I want to look this morning at a couple of things about the type of citizenship Paul is talking about. See if we can reveal some truth for us to take home from this. Just these little words, our citizenship is in heaven. Before we fully dive into that though, I want to point something out. Paul doesn't talk about dual citizenship. You know, a person is considered a citizen, can be considered a citizen by more than one nation. Sometimes Americans have a child overseas. According to the laws of that country, they might be granted citizenship in that country and in America. Paul doesn't say anything about that, does he? He doesn't say dual citizenship. Jesus doesn't talk about it either. You won't find it anywhere else in Scripture. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about how important it is to lay up treasure where? In heaven, where our home is. He says, don't lay it up here on earth. This is not your home. James 4:4, he talks about friendship. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If we have dual citizenship, we are identified with two countries, two kingdoms. We can't do that here. We are friends with the world, trying to be friends with God. It doesn't work. Our citizenship lies in heaven. As Christians here, we are strangers, foreigners. Some versions use the word aliens, sojourners. One of the things we have to remember as citizens of another country is that we have a different government. We have a different leader. We'll talk a little bit more about it tonight. But as Jesus was speaking with the Herodians and the Pharisees in Mark 12, he mentions that rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, giving to God the things that are God. When he says that about God, he's taking the debate that's going on, he's taking it to a different level there. He's reminding those people, yeah, you have a duty, but you have a duty to God. You need to observe that duty, just as you do with Caesar. Really, even more so when it comes to God. As believers, our leader is Jesus Christ. And our duty is to live a life that will be pleasing to God. Serve Him instead of constantly serving ourselves. Some of you probably heard the words live on January the 20th, 1961. John F. Kennedy stood at his inaugural address. And what did he say? He said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." I think we need to consider those words in the light of our citizenship in heaven, our country, our fellowship with other citizens, with other Christians. We need to carefully consider the citizenship that we have in Christ Jesus, where we are able to enjoy lots of rights and responsibilities, or lots of privileges, but we also have responsibilities, don't we? Duties. We must remember the duty that we have to one another and to our heavenly government. People that are from a different country, they speak differently. Have you noticed that? I can't tell you how many times in Chicago someone would just come right out and say, "Where are you from? You're not from around here." They didn't even ask. "You're not from around here, are you?" They just made a statement. "You're not from here." In fact, one man, we were at the Apple store in Chicago, and a man, Joel and myself and Sarah, he's sitting there waiting. He listened to us for a little bit, and then he said, "Where are you from?" And ended up, he was from Hot Springs. He saw Joel's Razorback shirt, and he heard us speaking. And he finally just, "You know, I knew that you weren't from here." As Christians, we must speak differently than non-Christians. The words that we speak need to give away the fact that we're not from here. We're citizens of some other place. We have to avoid the lying, the being hateful, the unthankfulness. Our stories should be ones that are uplifting instead of belittling. Our words need to be words of hope, words of love. There's a song played on K-Love now that Toby Mac sings, and the name of it is "Speak Life." Speak Life. He says in that song, he says, "Though it's crazy, it's amazing, we can turn a heart with the words that we say." He says, "Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die." So speak life, he says. Speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. He says, "Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive. As soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life." In Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. He says, "But only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear it." Eugene Peterson translates the end of that. He says, "Say only what helps." He says, "Each word a gift. As a citizen of heaven, the words that we speak should be a gift to others." We should be speaking life. As citizens of another country, we must also think different. Think different. In 1997, Apple Computer used those words in an advertising campaign. Think different. Steve Jobs talked on PBS one day about the concept behind that campaign. He says, you know, when you grow up, you tend to get told that the world is the way that it is. And your life is just to live out your life inside the world. Try not to bash the walls in too much, he said. Try to have a nice family, have fun, save a little money. Later on, he said, you know what? That's a limited life. He says, the minute that you understand that you can poke life, change it, that you can mold life, he says, you shake off this erroneous notion that you're just going to live instead of embracing, changing, improving life. Make your mark on it. He says, once you learn that, you're going to want to change. You're going to want to make life better. He says, once you learn that, you will never be the same. Steve Jobs was encouraging people to think in a way that was a little bit different than the rest of the world. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. In Romans 12, 2. As citizens of another world, we must think like Scripture instead of like the rest of the world. Paul emphatically there commands us not to shape our lives after the anti-Christian cultures. Don't be influenced by false religions. Don't buy into earthly values that put pressure on us constantly. So resist the process of being continually molded and fashioned by the patterns of this world. What's going on here? Don't be shaped by that. Do not be conformed to this world. That means we have to consciously avoid inappropriate language, wearing of clothes meant to show off our bodies that tempt the opposite sex. We have to avoid being intimate with this world. We have to think different. That Apple ad campaign saluted those that did. One of the ads in that campaign said that you can't ignore those people that think different. They change things. They imagine. They inspire. They heal. They push the human race forward. The people that are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones that do. That's what the campaign said. Hey, I know he's trying to sell computers, right? We're trying to change the world. We're trying to let God use us to change the world by thinking different. I pray that we can change the world in some way. I pray that through the power of God, that we can push the human race, not forward, but upward, continually upward. There in Philippians 3, if you'll back up just a few verses, in chapter 3, starting in verse 13, listen to what Paul says. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Paul was trying to push the human race upward as well, wasn't he? Finally, as citizens from another country, they know that they're from another country. Do we truly believe that our citizenship lies in heaven instead of in this world? And does our life reflect that? You know, in Exodus 22, God talks to the people of Israel and he tells them how to treat strangers that are among them. He says, you shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him. He says, because you were once sojourners in the land of Egypt. God reminds them, hey, you know what? You lived in a place one time where you were strangers. You didn't belong there. Your citizenship was with me. He says they were my people. You were God's people. Turn over to Exodus 5 with me for just a moment. I want to read just a little bit about their stay in Egypt. Now, sometimes in the Bible, Egypt is used as a type of the world. We've been talking in our daily Bible readers group a little bit about types and anti-types. Egypt is used as a type of the world. It represents the world, worldly things sometimes. In Exodus 5, we have Moses and Aaron. They're trying to free the children of Israel from bondage just as a brother, sister in Christ, a preacher, a teacher might be trying to help free someone from the grasp of sin. But notice what happens in Exodus 5, starting in verse 6. The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmaster, to the people and their foreman, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them still. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, 'Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God.'" Verse 9 says, "Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to their lying words." So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to them, "Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw for yourselves, wherever you can find it. But your work will not be reduced in the least." So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, your daily task each day, as when there was straw." And the foremen of the people, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not done all of your task of making bricks today and yesterday as in the past?" Egypt, representing the world, worldly things. And notice here how Pharaoh puts more and more pressure on the people of Egypt. Verse 9 says, "Let heavier work be laid on them." Pharaoh and those Egyptians are working harder, trying to get the children of Israel to conform, to produce for them. Satan does the same thing to us. Satan and the world constantly puts more and more pressure on our minds. Conform, conform. We're constantly barraged by worldly things. Flip on the TV, turn on the radio. It's right there. We try to interact with the world, but we're faced with temptations at every turn. We have to remember where our citizenship is. The world constantly tries to make us forget that we are not citizens here. But we must never forget. We must never forget where our citizenship lies. We have to constantly remind ourselves that we are from another place with another form of government. If you go on reading the story there of the Israelites, you'll find out that even though they were in a foreign country for a while, God still enabled them to prosper. God had something better for them. And He kept reminding them of that. He kept telling them, "You're my people. Your citizenship is with me, God's people." Sometimes they disobeyed Him. Sometimes they rejected Him, went and served other gods. Sometimes God, He had to help them, remind them every once in a while. Sometimes they forgot. We do that too. We do that too. We have to remember, a child of God, our citizenship is in heaven. And a wonderful future awaits us there. In Revelation 21 and verse 3, we're told that God will be there, and "I will be your God," He says. You keep reading there, you read about things such as no death, no sorrow, no crying, no more pain. John writes, "For the former things have passed away." What a great thing to consider. A world where there is no pain, no sorrow. Later, John tries to describe heaven. He uses earthly things to describe the spiritual. He says there will be walls of jasper. City made of pure gold, like clear glass, he says. And then later on he writes that, he says God showed him a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. He said it was flowing from the throne of God and from the throne of the Lamb. We can't comprehend it. We can't comprehend or understand what a magnificent place heaven will be. But we have a future there. We have a future there if we have obediently trusted in Jesus. If we've lived this world fully remembering where our true citizenship lies. There's a 4th century theologian named Aurelius Ambrosia. He's the one attributed with the saying of "When in Rome, do as the Romans do." You've probably heard that. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. His advice actually had to do with following local customs when you were worshiping God in a different place. Today, we recognize that even today. Hopefully, we don't fret too much if the worship service is out of order from what we're used to, or some other insignificant thing, because that local church does something a little different. I think so. Sometimes, though, we've taken that phrase, "When in Rome, do as the Romans," we misapplied it, though. We start thinking and speaking like citizens of this world. We try to enjoy that dual citizenship that I spoke of earlier. I want to encourage you this morning to be a full citizen of heaven, even as we live right here. That song that I quoted from Toby Mac earlier, the bridge part of that song, he says, "Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire." He says, "Raise your thoughts a little higher and use your words to inspire." This morning, let's raise our heads. Let's raise our thoughts a little bit higher and be fully committed to that citizenship that's found in heaven in Christ Jesus, bought by His blood. This morning, we invite you, if you'd like to be a citizen of heaven, I want to encourage you to follow the teachings of the New Testament. Come, confess your belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be baptized. Have your sins washed away. Arise out of the water to walk as a new citizen, a new creature of heaven. Have you ever seen the smile on someone's face when they take part in that citizenship ceremony to become an American? I assure you, as great as that is, nothing compared to what it will be to have your sins washed away. We give you a special invitation at this time. Also, if you'd like to come, maybe you've had dual citizenship so far, or maybe you feel like you've lost your citizenship, we'd love to pray for you as well in that regard. If we have any needs at all, please come as we stand and sing this invitation song.